Bullying, whether in person or online, hurts young people on many levels, including physically and emotionally. It also causes problems for their ability to focus and learn in school. And a new report indicates financial challenges can ultimately come about because of bullying. New research by the University of Texas at Austin explores the actual economic cost to public schools when children skip school for bullying-related reasons. Stephen Russell, Chair of Human Development and Family Sciences at the university, is with me to talk more about the research. Stephen, you looked at about 800,000 students in California to see how their school attendance was affected by bullying. So what did you learn?
We found that 1 in 10 students say that they miss school at least one day a month because they feel unsafe at school. And you know, I think the thing that was even more compelling about that is that almost half of those students said that they missed school because of bias or discrimination. You know, the important thing there is, you know, we're talking about 5% of students that aren't coming to school because they say they're experiencing racial, gender, sexual orientation, disability, bullying, or harassment. And the thing is, we know that there are strategies that schools can take to create a safe and supportive environment for all students and to reduce discrimination and bullying. And we should be able to prevent that.
Stephen, what can schools do to create a safer environment so that students are more comfortable and less likely to stay home?
Those kinds of things include having very clear, communicated, and inclusive non-discrimination policies for students, teachers, parents, for everyone that's involved with schools, to have very clear policies that are about non-discrimination and bullying prevention policies. That's easy to do. It's important to have training for teachers on how to intervene and prevent bullying when it happens. It seems obvious, but it's not a standard part of teacher training, and it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do when you see kids being mean to each other to figure out what's the best way, what's the most effective way to intervene. And yet there are good models for that, and so we could be, you know, regularly training teachers. There are also a lot of things we can do in schools to promote a positive climate for all students. So really basic things about, you know, recognizing diversity in the school climate through posters, through books in the library, through the kinds of organizations and student clubs that exist, and the kinds of curriculum we teach in the classroom are the ways that we create an environment that is supportive of everybody and demonstrates to everybody that everybody's valuable, that we're going to be a school that doesn't tolerate discrimination, that doesn't tolerate bullying.
And what about seeing numbers like this for the parents, both of those who are doing the bullying and those who are being bullied? Can this be enlightening for them too, not just schools and teachers and administrators?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things, especially parents often get involved when it's their kid that's being bullied. And I think one of the messages that, you know, I'd like to communicate to is that, you know, one of the things parents can do is become advocates for the whole school to be a safe and supportive climate. I mean, I think one of the challenges when it's your own kid, of course, you have to be an advocate for your own kid. And I think one of the dilemmas is how do we, you know, turn the conversation so that as parents, we're advocates for all of the kids to be safe and all of the kids to be supported so that our own kid is in a good climate where she or he can, you know, be the best student they can be.
You and your colleagues looked at 7th, 9th, and 11th grade students. It strikes me as that is a time bullying, as whether it's puberty, whether it's people acting out in different ways, it would seem that that would be a time period that would make a lot of sense to study for this kind of thing. Do you think it would apply to the younger grades as well?
We use data from the California Healthy Kids Survey, and that we're constrained by those years, 7th, 9th, and 11th grades. And I actually do think we do know that bullying is at its peak during the middle school years. So the, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grades are the period during which, you know, most bullying is reported in schools. And so, you know, I think we capture a little bit of that by being as young as 7th grade. I think we're starting probably at the beginning of the downward trend in bullying, and it would be great to have, you know, more information from earlier grades. Partly it's what we were constrained, you know, the information we were constrained with. But we do know that, you know, we're capturing the key years. I mean, by the time that students are finishing at the end of high school at 12th grade, bullying has become lower, kids become older, become focused on other ways of interacting.
Stephen Russell is Chair of Human Development and Family Sciences at the University of Texas at Austin. We've been talking about bullying.